This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're on a holiday, you
can't find the words to say. All the things. So I've been doing this wrestling announcing thing now for 23 years. And this past Sunday, I finally got to do something I'd never done before. With thunderstorms brewing here in central Pennsylvania on a stormy Wednesday night, we welcome you to another episode of The Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. Our guest this week is going to, well, I think may have already caused our production staff to soil themselves. Maria Kanellis is going to be the guest. That's right, the First Lady of Ring of Honor, movie star, television star, recording artist, producer, entrepreneur, and fiance of Michael Bennett. She's going to be our guest. We're going to talk about what we did together there at Best in the World. We're also going to talk about what the future holds for her and Mike. We'll tell you where you can hear her great podcast, and we'll see if she can tell us what all's going in. We've got 20 minutes with her, so there's so much going on. It's going to be a quick interview. Tell me now, okay, and then, okay, great, thanks. And that'll probably be it. Because she's got so many things going on. She is a cool chick. I'm a big fan of hers. And so that's that. So this past Sunday, I got to announce my first ever live pay-per-view as the play-by-play guy at Best in the World. It was a lot of fun. Those of you who watched, I want to thank you for watching. Though that includes my sister Carolyn out in Southern California, who's not a wrestling fan, but only bought it because her little brother was going to be, there. She said she recorded it for our two brothers, but I think she liked it. And, man, I'm telling you what. Steve Corino's awesome. Corino's great. Nigel is great. I was very happy with the announcing on the show. What can you say about the wrestling? I mean, the wrestling is, it's Ring of Honor. I think the company did some good things as far as production. I still think that having those four light things in the corner look crappy, but, they better fix it. That's it. So it's a step in the right direction, but I think that the wrestling was so good that, I think everybody will be pleased, but that's an upgrade they need to make. There's no doubt about that. So now I said I can retire because I've done everything that I've ever wanted to do in my career. This was my last goal. And I said to everybody when the event was finished, I said, for the first time, 23 years, got to announce a wrestling show. And when I had thought about announcing a wrestling show on a pay-per-view, that I said that it would have been a show like this. With guys that I've seen on their way up and that I've known for years. And that included, Matt Hardy, who I've known since he was a younger man, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian. I've known them for a long, long time. Those are the kinds of guys that, added to the mix with the young, talented roster of newcomers and veterans that we have. It just made everything a real special night. And I was very happy to bring all of that action to you. So to those of you who ordered the event, thank you very much. And I look forward to seeing what's next with Ring of Honor. It's an exciting time. We've got some good stuff planned, and we'll see what happens. And congratulations to Michael Elgin, the new world champ, who, listen, what Adam Cole did for that belt and what Adam Cole did as a representative of the company, no other Ring of Honor world champion has done or has had to do. The responsibilities that Cole took on as Ring of Honor world champion extended into the world of Sinclair Broadcast Group's corporate arm. And the responsibilities, because this was something new that was thought of after Adam Cole was, was world champion. It was something he had done prior to being champion, but then it expanded and became more. So he was going on speaking engagements and was traveling a lot more and was doing a lot of things in addition to keeping up with all of his responsibilities in and around the ring and keeping up on his training and everything like that. And, oh, by the way, continued to have great matches and was leader of the company and got better and better and better every single night. So, to you, my friend Michael Elgin, congratulations on winning, but you've got big shoes to fill. So, and oh, by the way, that's expected of you now because Colt's raised the bar that high. You can't slack. And when I say slack, that means you've got to work harder than he did. And I know you could do it. I know you're up to the challenge. You like that kind of thing. But yeah, Cole was awesome as world champion. And a couple of words about, you know, Peabody Award winner Nick Searcy, who I want to bring in my producer, Justin Rosero. JR, are you there?
What's up?
So Peabody Award winner Nick Searcy.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get this guy on the show.
All right, let's do it.
Sound we got to get him on. We're already lining up other guests, too. You want to... You want to let us know now, or you want to wait till it's confirmed? What do you want to do?
Well, let's confirm it, but I'd say along the lines of Sean Grandy, but this guy is a national name, so it'll be a cool one if we get him on, and it looks like it's well on the way, and we have another one, another guy that made a documentary that was pretty tangential to the wrestling world, so we'll get him on hopefully soon, and I hear you're working with Dennis Stamp night after night. You guys are in hot and heavy negotiations, so.
He's a tough nut to crack, let me tell you.
Well, it's tough because... to book.
He's tough to book. I really, that will be, you know, like I said during the, I don't know if you actually listened to the show. I was saying in the open that now that I've done like live pay-per-view play-by-play, I can retire because that was my last goal. My last goal for this podcast will be Dennis Stamp. Okay. So I'll book Dennis Stamp and then that'll be, we'll do the Dennis Stamp interview. That'll probably be like episode 100. And then by that point, we can retire. How does that sound?
I like it. I mean, okay. I was kind of hoping he'd be episode 14 and then we could retire. But.
Oh, come on. You love this show. It's a great way to spend a Wednesday night during the summer.
I don't do any tricks.
Yeah, except for my daughter pisses all over the floor 2 minutes before I'm about to run down here. And my mother-in-law asks me to bring her inside. And I went, and I feel like an idiot. Well, Kevin Kelly's waiting for me, you know?
Your mother-in-law could have cared less. And by the way, little girls don't piss themselves.
They do when they're two.
No. They pee-pee or they tinkle.
She pissed all over the
floor. Oh, it was that bad, huh? That much?
Yeah, wow. She's getting better. She'll tell us now, but she like tells us as she's going, so it's kind of fruitless, but we're getting there. We're getting close.
Well, all right.
But my mother-in-law loves you, by the way. She loves the show. She's listening
multiple
times.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. And we thank her.
Mm-hmm.
So, best in the world reactions. You did a review today. For those that did not have a chance to read that review on placetobenation.com, you have a chance now.
Yes.
Because you can always go there while you're listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a brief summation for, you know, what'd you think overall? Gut reaction.
I liked it. I got my money's worth. I'm going to start with the commentary, which I thought was excellent. I'm not just saying that because I'm friends with you and Carino's my hero. But I'm going to be honest. Because you want me to be honest on this show, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I love Nigel McGuinness. I do. I think he's great. Seems like a really great guy. Nice guy. Super knowledgeable about the business. Was awesome in the ring. The three-man thing just did not work.
Really?
I don't think it did. I felt like, and I like Nigel, but I like when it's just Nigel and you. Or just you and Carino.
Huh.
Or you can do the best combination, just Nigel and Carino. But it's, Carino felt a lot, like I feel like I barely heard him the second half of the show. Like it was just a lot of Nigel, and it just seemed to take the flow out of you guys. You were in a really good flow for the first half. Like you were what you do every week on TV, a lot of good rapport. And I felt like it almost felt like we had to make sure Nigel got to talk because he's out there. And it felt like it just took away from the shtick that you and Carino had going on. That's all.
Well, yeah, that's fair. And there again, though, it's sometimes when we get in that second half of the show, it's serious business. And but I see your point.
Right.
I see your point. I think that as far as a three-man booth goes, we executed it well.
Right. It's just not, I don't think it's optimal, that's all. And, like, right. It was no fault of Nigel's, no fault of anyone's. Like, I thought everyone did what they do fine.
Any three-man booth, though, you think, in your opinion, is not going to work? Any combination of the three?
I mean, there's rare ones that I've heard work. I'm not sure. You know, maybe it's like when the third guy's Dusty Rhodes, you know, and he's so inane, like that, maybe that works. But, or like Mike Tenay in WCW, where he was just there as real expert analysis on certain things. This felt like it was Carino and Nigel completely splitting the color duties instead of one guy just kind of being jumping in here and there as an analyst. And I mean, look, I love the commentary, but I mean, Carino, I love hearing Carino, and I just felt like it limited the second half, so it disappointed me. That's all.
All right. So, all right, point taken. Very good. Okay. What about the show overall?
Well, I'm going to say this, too. I think one of the biggest good things of the show was you nailed the part everyone had the questions about, right? So we can get to the in-ring action in a minute because I thought it was maybe a notch below a standard Ring of Honor show, but I think the production made up for it because that was the questionable part, right? Everyone wanted to make sure the stream was going to hold up. Everyone wanted to make sure that the HD would look great, the lighting was better, the production qualities, and those were all awesome. Like, I thought they were flawless all night. I mean, I didn't see one screw up anything. I mean, for the first time doing that, I thought you guys did a phenomenal job. You were on beat. It was a good pacing to the show. Everything was really well done. The in-ring part, I thought was, I thought there was a little bit too much non-Ring of Honor style. Like, it felt like there was an overbooked finish to every match. Like, I feel like very few matches ended clean on that show, if any. If, like, every match had interference in it. And I just, that's not Ring of Honor. And I'm like, if I'm tuning in for the very first time because I'm sick of WWE, I'm sick of TNA, I want to see my wrestling, I thought you guys focused too much on angle development instead of blowing things off. Does that make sense?
It does. But can't you do both?
Yeah, I don't know if you did. But the matches were all really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think there was a stinker. I don't think it was anything like that. The matches
right,
are all
right.
My expectation for Ring of Honor is like, I'm going to get two match of the year candidates in one night. Like that, when I look at Ring of Honor on a major show, like that's what I'm looking for. And I feel like I got one because I thought Elgin and Cole were awesome. And I think it proves that they're the right guys to carry the company because they took a show that was maybe borderline. Like if they had a shit main event, I think the show would have been looked at a lot differently, but they killed it. And that match was awesome. The finish was awesome. The moment was awesome. So I think that, to me, definitely solidified it. But I think that was kind of a make-or-break point because the tag match was really good. But I think people going in, and myself included, were expecting, like, holy shit, this is going to be, like, the greatest match ever kind of thing. You know, and it was very, 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 very good. And I loved the way they did the work. They worked over Kaz's arm, and the finish made sense, and you could tell they're going to be back. But I think everyone was expecting, like, a blow-away all-time classic on that one.
Right. I don't ever remember Daniels and Kazarian being that type of team in TNA. You know, I think they're the Red Dragon. They were the Red Dragon of TNA. And I think that might be part of it, is that they're kind of, you know, both on the same side of the coin, if you will.
Right.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, the Briscoes thing I couldn't get enough of, though.
Yes. Well, after the tease finish. Before that felt a little bland, but they brought it home, man. They delivered the back end of that. That was great. And Hardy got all his comeuppance, and it was really well done. Really well done.
But Jay Briscoe didn't get his belt back.
That's true. We need a singles match now.
Exactly. Well, Maria Kanellis ran off with it. So
that's right.
We can ask her about that.
We can. And I wanted to go back to the main event for a minute because I love the way it paid everything off that was to do with that storyline. Like, Elgin had given up the belt and then couldn't win the big one. He wins the big one. They beat the shit out of Mischief on TV. She comes back. It's her comeuppance. You get War Machine involved, which I thought was really cool to elevate them. So I liked that whole package on that main event.
It was the first time that we had seen War Machine in doing anything to help Elgin.
Right.
Since Elgin said, I think you guys are great as a team, but I want you guys to watch my back.
Right, and then they finally showed up. Well, I guess it was when it mattered most, right?
When it mattered most. We're there for the big moments. That's pretty cool. I liked a match that nobody's really said much about. I thought was fantastic was Cedric and Roddy.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I haven't heard a lot of positive or negative about that match. I think
it's what I thought it was going to be. That's why.
It surprised me how good. I was really? Surprised how good Cedric was.
See, I'm a big Roddy fan, so I think that's part of it.
Well, I know how great Roddy is.
Yeah.
I expect Roddy to be awesome every night, and he was, just like usual. But Cedric stepped up for me big time, and I really like that a lot. I think this what he's done with Roddy has been a catalyst, the jumpstart that he needed. So, very good.
ACH, I thought, was one of the MVPs, if not the. I thought he, in a situation that could be easy to blend in, six guys, like 15 guys at ringside. And, you know, when you're first coming into that first match, we had never seen that pay-per-view. Everyone's kind of getting used to the setting. He could have easily just kind of fell back. But I thought he stood out big time and stole that show.
Yep.
I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I think a very, very bright future for ACH in Ring of Honor. So, yes.
One more thing. What about my boy Taven? Can we talk about that?
What about Taven?
He's still just not, it's not clicking with me, Kevin. And I root for him so much. Uh-huh. He looks like he's thinking too much still. I don't know. Do you pick that up at all?
My only thing is that he's in a tough spot.
He is in a tough spot. I know.
Because it's a no-win situation until he finally gets a hold of Martini.
Yeah, you know? That was a big problem in that. Like, he just constantly going after him. And I know that's the storyline. I know it's not on him. But that was another one where I thought the overbooking was way too much. And I know you're trying to get the Jay Diesel thing going. Like, I just thought Taven looked like a bitch when Jay Diesel like slapped him across the neck. I was like, what the hell is this? And then Taven like tried that really awkward super kick that Diesel just kind of caught and then slapped him in the chest. And I know he kicked him after, but it just, I didn't think it was a banner night to making Taven look strong at all.
Well, it, you know, again, these are the things that need to happen.
Right.
These are the things that we need to elevate guys in the right way. Yep. And again, all Taven's got to do is, I mean, geez, I don't know what else he needs to do other than just, if he finally gets a hold of Martini, then everybody will say, okay, now what? You know, it'll be good. They'll move him past this. Because he's been in a tough spot since he started in the company. He was overshadowed by Truth Martini.
Yep.
Then he got beat. Then he was overshadowed by Truth Martini. Now he's overshadowed by Jay Lethal and Truth Martini.
Yep.
Damn. Tough spot.
Lethal is almost completely forgotten in that one.
I know. How about Silas Young?
Yeah, I was surprised he lost. That was my biggest surprise of the night. I thought for sure he was going to win with Steen looking like he's packing his bags, even based on what he was saying. But I enjoyed it. You know, I'm a Silas Mark, so I'm hoping that one continues on.
I think we will see more of Silas Young and Kevin Steen down the road. And I think big things are on the horizon for Silas Young.
Did you like how long they teased him coming back? Like it. They really made you think he wasn't going to come out and beat him up. I thought they did a nice job really slow burning that. Steve Willey mentioned that in our review.
Well, I'd almost forgot because I was so into what Steen was saying.
Yeah.
That because I was trying to hang, like I had my pen out and I'm trying to write down like a nugget, a word, and trying to see if there's something that I can. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Silas, there he is.
There he is.
Damn. Got me. How about the fan? I've never seen this before where the fans thought the match was over.
Yes.
Missed power bomb. 1-2. No. And all hands on deck with the streamers.
Yeah, that's great. And then we fucked up chant.
Yeah, that was, that was great.
It was a great near fall. I mean, I really liked that match and the power bombs at the end were really stiff to end it.
Yeah. Good way to end a world title match though.
Mm-hmm.
How about Todd Sinclair taking that super kick, the referee, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he ate it hard.
I watched the main event back last night because we got it here at the house. My wife and kids wanted to watch it, so they recorded it, and I watched the main event back again last night. I went back and I rewound that kick into Todd Sinclair, caught him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Even the one Jay Diesel took ended up being pretty good. It was just the lead into that. Was interesting.
Interesting. And a lot of press for my man Moose. He's getting a lot of pub.
Yep.
Which is good.
I thought Veda stood out in that segment too.
Well, yeah, of course.
Good job.
I did an interview with Alex Marvez of Fox Sports about the signing of Quinn Ojinaka, aka Moose. So we'll see that in a couple days. Or maybe tomorrow. Or maybe today. Who knows? But I've known Marvez for a long time, Florida guys, back in the day. So we've got the Money in the Bank thing this weekend. Is it over for Bad News Barrett?
This poor guy.
He can't catch a break, can he?
No. I mean, separated shoulder can go many ways. I haven't really seen the severity of it yet. Because that's something where you could pop it in and out and be ready in a couple weeks. Do you think he was going to win the briefcase? I mean, if not, this doesn't hurt him if it's just a few weeks or a month, yeah.
I believe, have always had big plans for him when injury does not get in the way. So, yes, I was going to pick him to win. But now I think Seth Rollins is going to win both matches.
You think they could put him in both?
That's it. I'm going to win all the money.
What? Well, we'll get to the picks later. But I have an interesting possibility that I think could happen.
Okay.
In that match, I'm going to be there Sunday. We're going to be there with.
Right.
We got nine of us now. I just found another guy. Eric Eels is going to come down and meet us down from Vermont. We got our buddy Roger Morissette's going to be driving the van. We rented a van so we can all drive up together.
Was he the guy that was fixated on Hansen?
Roger? No, that was Marc Poirier. He's not coming. Okay. He's not coming to this one. He was. He's from Hamilton, Canada.
Got it.
So he was fixated. You're right. But no, he. No, should be a good time though. Really looking forward to it. I got to email our buddy Sean Grandy, see if we're gonna be able to meet up at all, because I know he is going as well. So should be.
Oh, fun. Tremendous! All right. Well, so we're gonna talk. We'll talk about Money in the Bank later on. We'll run down whatever else is happening in the world. It's been a relatively quiet couple of weeks, which I think was very good news for Ring of Honor, because there was not a lot of competition for the wrestling mind. The weekend passed, and, you know, with Best in the World, a week before Money in the Bank, I think, you know, we'll see. I don't know what it's going to do for a buy rate. I don't think it's going to do very much, but the show was good. It was well received, and we'll see what it does from there.
Yep.
Our guest is the absolutely wonderful, stunning, smart, vivacious, worldly, just everything, Maria Kanellis. And take it easy, my friend, because, you know, this could get ugly fast with you and her.
You can't mute me. I mean, I can mute myself, but you can't.
Damn it.
Me.
That was my hope.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So we'll talk to Maria. But right now, let's find out where, because our good friend JR here is going to tell us where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show.
You can find The Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways. You can visit placetobenation.com, clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes. You can also visit stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at place2bnation and at realkevinkelly. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobenation.com or tweet us using #AskKevin with the KK capitalized.
Right on. Do that. Do all of those things. And we're going to talk to Maria Kanellis in just a few moments here on The Kevin Kelly Show. But right now we pause for a wrestling flash.
And I am Just Rosero. This is your wrestling news flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. PW Insider has heard from several sources that Josh Matthews was let go over the last 24 hours. His profile has been moved to the alumni section, although the company has yet to acknowledge his departure. Matthews has been with the company since the original Tough Enough reality series on MTV, and had been doing announcing as well as hosting WWE Network's Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view pre- and post-show panels. PW Insider is reporting that two former WWE stars were backstage at today's Impact Wrestling taping in New York City. The two stars are Gene Snitsky and the recently released Ezekiel Jackson. It's unknown at this point if either person will actually be making appearance for the promotion or visiting the area. Both stars live within close proximity of New York City. And of course, we give full credit to Dave Scherer and the boys at PW Insider. WWE.com has confirmed that Intercontinental Champion Bad News Barrett suffered a shoulder injury during Tuesday night's SmackDown taping. Physician Dr. Chris Amon spoke to WWE.com about the title holder's condition, explaining he sustained an injury to his right shoulder when he was thrown into the barricade by Jack Swagger. That's his medical expertise there. As for yet, no official determination has been made yet in terms of Barrett's participation in the Money in the Bank match on Sunday. Finally, TNA President Dixie Carter, wrestling legend The Great Muda, announced today that the 2014 edition of Bound for Glory will take place from Tokyo, Japan at the Korakuen Hall on October 12th. In a statement released from ImpactWrestling.com today, this year will mark the 10th anniversary of the annual Bound for Glory event and will certainly be the biggest and most exciting year yet. Once again, you can visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news, in-depth features, and Still Real to Us podcast. For more of The Kevin Kelly Show, stay tuned, including a visit from that Greek goddess, Maria Kanellis, after this break.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Try to live my life, complications ignite things I try to ignore, hoping.
All right, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. We thank you for joining us. Our guest, I can't think of any more adjectives, positive adjectives, to describe my guest. Let's just say that she's awesome. Maria Kanellis is here. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've become such a fan of yours since we first met. We met in Chicago when you and Mike were just dating, and and now look at you—you're a fiancé. You're and so what
it's,
are you doing?
It's been a wild ride.
What are you doing today? What's on the busy schedule?
Well, today I'm actually downtown Chicago. I just bought my wedding shoes, and I'm really excited about that. I was never really a girl that planned her wedding. When I was a little girl, I didn't plan a wedding. What I planned was television shows. So I never was that girl. So it's fun to be that girl now that goes out and plans. And we went to a rental place and looked at plates and chargers and all the silverware and things like that today. And my sister's with us. And it's just been a really great day.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, when last I saw you on Saturday night, when we got wrapped up at Best in the World, you were still a wicked shade of green. Has the green subsided?
The green has subsided, but on Monday when I came back, it literally was still in my hair, and you could still see it around my eyes, even though I had like scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. So we went to pay the caterer, we paid the florist, all these different people. So they probably thought I was a crazy person, but it was fun. And I've told everybody what I do, because a lot of times girls can just go whenever the appointments that they have are available. But because of our crazy schedules, I can't do that.
Right. Well, for those of you that didn't see what happened to poor Maria at Best in the World, you can get the replay now through your local cable operator, your satellite provider. It's also available at Ustream.tv. Maria ran afoul with Mischief, and Mischief notorious for that green mist. And, well, let's just say it didn't go so well for Maria. But
it did not. I was trying to help out, and somehow I ended up green.
Wrong
like the
place.
Wicked Witch of the West.
Wrong place, wrong time. That's what I say. Hey, all right. So we had a question because we were speculating off air before we started this. Your nationality, your heritage, because Kanellis sounds like a Greek name. And I said, yes, I think you are Greek. And then there was some debate. Tell me about your family, your heritage, what you were like growing up.
You know, I'm half Greek and I'm half hillbilly. My mom is pretty much 157, a little bit of everything. I grew up small town outside of Chicago. It's in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by cornfields. My dad works on cars. He has show cars that have been in more magazines than I have. And he was a prison guard, and he recently retired from there. He got up to the point when he was a lieutenant. And my mom works at a nursing home. But my mom is the most hardworking woman I have ever met. She makes sure she takes care of all three of us kids and now grandkids. She has two of those. And she never complains. She never worries about it. She doesn't take enough care of herself. But recently she started on Weight Watchers and she's lost 25 pounds. So I'm really proud of her. But you know, I definitely had that small town, childhood.
It's amazing when I've had guests here on the show and I hear their stories about how we all kind of got into this crazy life, you know, whether it was, Mike or, Bobby Fish or DDP. And I mean, with you, it was a very public, story. We all saw through the Diva Search how you emerged and how you came about, but did it begin for you before this? Was wrestling ever something that you thought about or wanted to be a part of, or was it mainly television?
I just didn't ever think that I could. I didn't know how to get a part of it. I didn't search it out. I watched it though. Like, I was a huge fan of the Hardy Boys. I loved Lita. I thought Trish was such a powerful woman. I was a big fan of The Rock. So I knew all the people when I went backstage the very first time. I was in awe of all these characters that I watched on television. But I was a bikini model. I started modeling bikinis when I was 14. And, I entered in competitions when I was 16, 17. My mom would have to go to the bars with me so that I could actually be in the competition. So it definitely started before that for me in entertainment. And it's funny too, because some guys will be like, oh, you didn't pay your dues. But at the same time, I was driving 7, sometimes 9, sometimes, you know, 10 hours. So I could drive to different bikini competitions, to different castings. One of the shows that I did before before I did WWE was Outback Jack, and I drove 9 hours to a casting for that. So I've definitely traveled the road for a lot longer than the 10 years I've been in this business.
Well, there's not a lot of difference between driving for bikini gigs and then driving for wrestling, because it's kind of the same attire, you know, the guys in their little trunks and the girls wearing what they wear. It's kind of the same deal. I think we all pay our dues in a number of ways, because if you don't pay your dues, eventually you're going to wind up paying dues. You know, I don't think there's any way around it.
No, there's not. Definitely.
And when you got into the WWE, was it culture shock? Did it blow your mind? Did you take to it easily? How did it go for you when you initially got in?
It was definitely shocking. I didn't know I was going to be on that first Monday Night Raw. I didn't know I was going to be live, until I got to the building and everybody started congratulating me. And I was like, what are you talking about? Everybody was congratulating me, but I didn't know I was doing an interview live that night. So it was definitely shocking that night, and it just continued to shock me. And wrestling still shocks me to this day. Just because now that I've moved to Ring of Honor, I feel such a close-knit family from them that I didn't necessarily feel in WWE. Yes, it's a family there and you take care of each other, but this is a more loving relationship where it's like, I want them to be happy and I want them, their families to be happy. And, you know, whereas with WWE, it wasn't necessarily, it was more about being on the road. For me, Ring of Honor is like the whole package. It's knowing the guy as a person as well as a wrestler.
and I've had to work to kind of change my thought process, because when I came into the WWE, the first thing that was really told to me was, listen, you're part of the office because you're on the television side, and the office and the boys are separate. So know them, be friendly with them, but don't get too close to them because they might take advantage of you. That was the conventional wisdom. So now in Ring of Honor, where I have so many people that I've grown to be so fond of, like you and Mike and so many others, it's kind of like, okay, now I can sort of relax that a little bit because I'm more mature and we're all a big family together anyway. So it's a much different thing, you know, but
definitely
you had to have, and the age old thing about being a woman in any form of entertainment, it has to be difficult. It has to be much harder for a woman to be successful on television, whether it's wrestling or sitcoms or whatever. Is that correct? Is my assertion correct?
I think it's difficult in different ways than it is for a man. You know, for being in wrestling, it's tougher because there aren't as many positions. And that's just the way it is. So it's not like as a guy where, you know, we have the really ripped up guy, the short guy, the skinny guy, the tall guy, that whereas in wrestling, usually you're just going to have the pretty girls. And you don't have a lot of other options. Now there are breakouts, of course. You know, you got the Karmas of the world that definitely broke the mold on that, but that's very rare, few and far between. You know, you don't have as many positions. There's not as many matches. There's not as many shows. There's a lot of stigma around females in wrestling. So there is a lot of that, but by no means is it easy for the guys. I mean, with the guys, you have a lot more guys that are trying to do it. So it's difficult in a different way. I do have to say I'm a lot more comfortable in the Ring of Honor locker room than I was in the WWE locker room. There's a story, and I won't name names, but I had recently been through a breakup, and after the breakup, I lost a bunch of weight because that's always what happens. And, I was walking down the hall, and one of the guys from the office said to me, "Oh, you're looking fat. You need to lose some weight." And, I was already so beaten down to where I was miserable. And then this guy said that to me, but I cannot fathom that ever happening in Ring of Honor. And that's the part that, that I love the most, is they realize you're a human being.
Right.
And that's okay to be a human being.
And I think, you know, as I think everything changes over time, and that's kind of why, like, Ring of Honor has been a real safe haven for a lot of folks, because that mindset where we all come from is different places. You, of course, knew Matt. You were a fan of his growing up. You know, getting a chance to have, I thought just having you and Matt Hardy surrounding Mike Bennett on his first pay-per-view Sunday, I thought was awesome and probably very calming for Mike, if there ever would have been a time for him to be nervous, which there's never, he's never been nervous. But if there ever was a time, this might have been Sunday. But boy, having you guys on his side, I'm sure felt good for him.
Yeah, I mean, he loves having Matt around. He idolizes Matt in a way, because he loves what he's done for this business. And, he definitely loves all the, you know, the expressions and you can just see what he's thinking with the looks on his face. And Mike really loves that. He had a headache earlier in the day, and I probably shouldn't tell you this, but he was really sick. During the day, and he's very private when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so he was getting stressed out because he wasn't feeling well. And when you're not feeling well, you can't keep everything straight in your head. So for him to go from feeling like that to having such a great night was amazing.
It never would have known that he was sick. And, well, that's a good addition to that story, because as soon as I saw him come out, and I just knew that, like, this was going to be, okay, this is a huge night for him. And it's been, when you guys are how much time? Now, I know, of course, you know, everybody could go and listen to your podcast, Mike and Marie in Wonderland, and they find out all the good stuff and what you guys are doing. But in the private moments, how much time, if you gave it a percentage, like how much time do you talk about wrestling stuff and how much time do you just talk about other stuff?
You know, we probably talk about wrestling maybe 15, 20, sometimes 30% of the time. Wedding takes up about 50% of the time. but, you know, we like to talk about a lot of things. And we love to watch TV shows together. We're big into what's going on in politics. Mike is always like keeping me up to date with that because I don't pay attention to it, but he always is telling me about it. We're big into social issues, especially equality rights. So like we talk about that kind of stuff a lot. We love to cook together. So we talk about wrestling a lot and a lot lately just because Japan is coming up because of the pay-per-view recently. And it's also a pivotal point in both of our careers. So we've been talking work a lot. But for me, and I know this for him as well, it doesn't ever interfere with the relationship side of things.
And that's the critical thing because I've seen, and you've seen, how many quote unquote wrestling relationships not work. You know, and you guys would not have met were it not for wrestling. So
yeah, definitely.
And you know, but I think you guys have that right balance. I think everybody everybody gets that vibe that this is a couple that's built to last because you guys are like peas in a pod and it's just, you know, it just took the wrestling business to put you guys two together, but you were kind of fated to be together, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And I mean, we both, you know, and I know wrestling fans don't like to think this, but we do have other dreams and other goals, you know, like having a family one day or I want to finish my degree and Mike wants to learn how to play the guitar. And so I think when we're not at wrestling shows and when we do have those moments together, we do have other things that we like to discuss and talk about. So it makes it nice for us. Plus we're not a competitive relationship. You know, some couples, you know, they're always fighting, you know, who's more popular, who's more this, who's got this. And we don't compete that way. And it's funny because at the beginning of our relationship, I said to Mike, I was like, there will come a time when they will want pictures with you more than they'll want pictures with me. And it started to happen. And I love it. It's not offensive to me. I don't get butt hurt because somebody wants to take a picture with him. I love it. I love watching this transition happen.
Mm-hmm. It's been great to see. And he certainly is not, I think he's thrived in the spotlight. It's been tough on him at times in Ring of Honor because, you know, listen, he's different and he's kind of broken the mold in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think he's in his type of athlete, his type of wrestler, I think is exactly what Ring of Honor needed to kind of get over the hump and to move into this direction. What do you think?
I do. And I agree with you that he's broken the mold. But he found a huge respect for a lot of the guys and the styles that they have, that he didn't necessarily understand at first. And I remember when that all started to happen, when he started to understand the feeling in a Ring of Honor match, the tempo of a Ring of Honor match, because you can listen to a Ring of Honor match, a WWE match and a TNA match, and you can pick out which one is a Ring of Honor match strictly by the way the bumps sound and how close the bumps are coming together. And I think that once Mike realized why that works is when he started to incorporate that into his matches, but never changed the style that he has. He changed the tempo. He changed, you know, how he looks at a match. He includes what the guy wants to do, but he hasn't changed how he wrestles.
Was there a big learning curve with you? Because again, that style was what you knew the WWE style. And so I'm sure there was a big adjustment for you, right?
Well, for me, I have appreciated Ring of Honor for a while. I was first introduced to it. I believe my first Ring of Honor show was in 2007, the first time I ever saw it. And I loved it. And that is really, like, that memory in my mind is what really drew me back into Ring of Honor. And when they asked me to do that first show, I was like, heck yeah. Because in my head, I still had that night where Samoa Joe left. And, like, I was there that night. And I remember thinking to myself, how freaking cool is that? And, like, the streamers and the intensity from the crowd. And I had that memory in my head. So, like, for me, yes, it's an adjustment because all of a sudden I don't have to stand in one little corner. I can be involved and I don't get in trouble all the time. And it's wonderful. And I can learn and I can grow and take the things that Paul Heyman has taught me and start to implement them in Ring of Honor, which I didn't always get to do at WWE because they are, it's very particular on where I could stand and what I could do. In Ring of Honor, I can figure out stuff. But if it doesn't work, it's okay. I'll fix it the next time. But, you know, it's definitely different in that sense.
Well, you had, like, in the span of a month, you had, you got speared on the apron in, you know, at Global Wars. Then you got put in the clover leaf by Tanahashi, that sexist, that no good Nick. And then you got sprayed with green mist here in Nashville. It's been a busy time for Maria.
It has been a very busy time. And Mike and I always joke about how instead of like the sweet wedding video that you have before the wedding, you always show like the highlights of your relationship and photos and stuff. We're just going to have him spearing me, him kicking me, like super kicking me. I've slapped him before. All of that stuff will be in our video.
It must be. So, all right. So when you guys finally get married, and then the wedding is in October, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So where you guys have basically been living apart. I mean, you're together sometimes, mm-hmm. but you're still in the Chicago area, and Mike is back in the Boston area.
Yep.
Do we know what, do you want to reveal that? Have you guys made plans of where you're going to be?
Yeah, we have. We accidentally did things the traditional way. We're going on our honeymoon. We're actually spending 2 weeks on our honeymoon. Oh. And then we're coming back to the Chicagoland area after we make a pit stop in Boston to see a Bears-Cats game. And so we're going to go see that, then come back here, and then we're moving to Providence, Rhode Island. I've recently been accepted to Johnson & Wales University, and I'm going to be studying at the downtown school there, sports, entertainment, and event management. So we're moving to Providence, and it took us a long time to decide because both of us have our hearts in Los Angeles, but it's just not conducive to wrestling right now.
Well, and again, so that's an awesome plan. But again, you guys are still working and doing movies, both of you.
Yeah.
You know, where do things stand? You know, did Army of the Damned, and then the follow up. You guys, you were in that. You were involved in that project as well.
I was involved in Army of the Damned. I did Opposite Sex, which is a comedy that came after that, and then I recently shot a short film. That is going to be coming out very soon. I was almost going to give you a spoiler that I would have been in big trouble for.
Oops.
but it's coming out soon, and its name is Penance. It's very bloody. So much fun. And Mike was also in a film. It was called Almost Mercy, and he has a small role in it, but that's how you start. You know, you start small and you keep building. So, yeah, we're constantly writing and doing more stuff, and we're trying to get on a few other projects that are wrestling related, but not in the traditional wrestling related sense. I think that's about as much as I can reveal on that. But you know, we're definitely growing as a couple, growing as a team, and also growing separately, which is fun because I think in relationships you always have to have your own separate things as well as a together thing.
Well, and I know that he's gotten his own voice, which is important, because I've known Mike since he's a teenager, and the one thing he always needed to do was stick up for himself a little bit more and speak up for himself a little bit more. So he's maturing.
Yeah.
He's getting, you know, we're finally getting there with him.
Yeah, and I think he had to know that it was okay. What he was saying was right. It wasn't wrong. And I think after being told, you're right, enough times, he wasn't embarrassed to say what he wanted to say. Because in essence, he's very shy until you get to know him. When we first started dating, he didn't want to make the phone call to the pizza man. He would have me do it. And I was like, I'm not calling every time. You're calling. So he's very shy in that kind of sense. And you wouldn't think that about a wrestler, but it's so true.
Well, he's a mama's boy. Let's face it. Come on now. And my my producer, JR, who's in the Providence area right now, he's very excited that you're moving to the area. He'll probably want you to go out and have wings with him at that.
Boneheads Wing Bar, Maria.
Boneheads Wing Bar is a sponsor here. Yeah.
If it's a school night and you're staying in and Mike's out on the road, look, we're in town now. You just give me a call. We'll get together.
You're a married man.
All right.
Hey, Kevin, don't blow up my spot. Listen.
You are a married man with a 2-year-old who went pee-pee on the floor before the show.
She did go pee-pee. Isn't that cute, Maria? I'm just a father cleaning
adorable.
Up my baby girl's pee.
You are such a creep, JR.
I'm the creep. All right. Listen.
You are a creep.
Maria, you are the best, because you get it. And it comes across very well in this interview, by the way. You get how everything works, and it's really impressive. So thank you. Keep doing what you do. I'm going to go back to being quiet.
All right. Punch out, Matt. Goodbye.
Well, thank you guys so much. I'm actually going to go in and eat some Giordano's pizza. So it was very nice talking to you, and I will see you soon.
Thanks, Maria. Take care.
Okay. Yeah.
Right,
bye.
Bye.
Is she really going out?
All right, we're back. We're going to continue here on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. There are few cooler, as I told you, with Maria Kanellis. And we'll have more, again, updates and things like that. But you can listen to Maria and Mike every week on their podcast, Mike and Maria in Wonderland. In fact, if you go to ROHWrestling.com and you click on the what section, JR?
Podcasts.
Is it podcast or is it connect?
Connect, I don't know. I only worry about one section on one website. That's PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's the connect section, and then you can find the link there. And I think there'll be a link very soon in that same section, which will bring you back here to the PlaceToBeNation.com, so you'll be able to listen to both this show and the Steve Corino show, which you can hear every week. Now, Corino this week on vacation, but nonetheless, or is it nevertheless? Recorded an episode, which you'll hear on Friday, with the great Guillotine LeGrand, who is a tremendous character. So,
we're hoping that's the way that we end Dan McGinn's career, via guillotine.
Oh. He is, Steve is a hardworking man. He had a hellacious travel, though. It was rough, so I'm sure he talked about that. And I'm sure he talked about his thoughts with Best in the World. And I think it's a good listen. So the Steve Corino Show is available every week at placetobenation.com. New episodes, of course, of this show every other week, and we're working on a special guest for either the next episode or the next episode. Do we want to talk about that now, JR, or do we want to wait until it's confirmed?
Let's confirm it, and then we'll talk.
Okay, once it's confirmed, then we'll talk, but we've got a couple of good things that we're working on for upcoming guests. Okay, now, I love the guest. I love talking here on the Kevin Kelly Show to whomever it is, whether it's Maria Kanellis here this week or Adam Cole in our first week, Hanson, DDP, Sean Grandy. It doesn't matter who it is. But my favorite part of this show is our next segment, and that is Trending Stories. JR, what is Trending Story number one this week?
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. It was a heart-wrenching story, Kevin Kelly, when a Mississippi grandmother said she brought her 3-year-old granddaughter into a KFC in Jackson earlier this year. Little Victoria Wiltshire had to eat through a feeding tube, her grandmother said, because she had recently been attacked by pit bulls. I think they were owned by R.J. Brewer. The girl's face was badly scarred and she wore an eye patch. The grandmother, Kelly Mullen, said she ordered food, mashed potatoes, something the child could swallow easily. Then she was asked to leave. Victoria's appearance was disturbing to the customers. That account told on the family's Facebook page, Victoria's victories received national attention and enraged many on social media who contributed money to the family. But Tuesday, KFC said it conducted two investigations, including one by an independent investigator, and revealed neither revealed any proof that the scenario actually occurred. They're saying it wasn't a hoax. What's going on here, Kevin Kelly?
Well, I of course heard both parts of this story. I read the I read when the outrageous claim made by the grandmother the first time. How dare anybody at KFC say anything publicly about that, saying that the child's disfigurement was disturbing other patrons of the restaurant. It's KFC, for God's sakes. You know, if you're in there, trust me, you're not worrying about what you're looking like. Don't worry about what the kid looks like. But anyway, now that I hear that it's could be a fraud, I still don't trust it. I don't trust that it's a fraud. And it kind of goes back to a bigger issue. I have a hard time believing anybody these days. Whenever I hear, because everybody lies. It's really scary. Look at our government. Look at the way things are. And I'm not getting all RJ Brewer here, but I'm just saying it's I just have a hard time believing anybody when they say anything anymore. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I want to believe the grandmother is telling an honest recount. But then I also want to believe, you know, KFC when they say, really, we didn't do it and we investigate. I don't know who to believe. And I'm nauseous about it.
I think that, are you sure it's just not all the food you ate for?
No, it was Taco Wednesday. We did great tonight.
That's
here.
Why you're nauseous. I believe KFC in this one, because why would they bring this back up and bring all the attention and not be telling the truth on this? Like, to me, they'd want to bury it, pay it off, and forget about it. Like, the fact that they're going through these lengths to prove themselves makes me think that they're telling the truth.
True. But again, I don't know. I didn't see where the child was going to be. The family, is it because you think the family might be motivated by money here?
There's a lot of screwed up people out there.
Well, there are.
You know, that's a lockdown, easy scam to pull off if you get the stupid enough company that doesn't do the legwork afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
I was in
this world of social media uproar where everyone's leading a cause for everything. So
I was in a situation in college, okay, where if I would have been of that mindset, I could have sued. We were at Popeye's Chicken in Tallahassee, and it was kind of a popular spot right near campus. And there was there were a lot of hobos in this part of Tallahassee. Surprising number of indigents. This was in 1989, I think, too. But anyway, and this one old dude came in and just was drunk as a skunk and was asking for money and like drooled on my food. And I flipped out on this guy, and they basically kind of shut me down. And I was like, and if I wanted to make a big stink of it, I could have like sued and they would have but I'm not of that mindset. I don't know. I see situations like this and I just think, why would anybody lie about something like this? Why would they make up a story? Because they're that greedy for money. They're that hard up for money.
Yeah.
That type of scenario bothers me. I don't like these trending stories. I like other trending stories that make me laugh. This one aggravates me. Let's strike this from the record. This one didn't happen. Let's go to trending story number two.
Well, I mean, it did happen, but.
Ugh. Trending story number two.
All right. Hang on. I wasn't ready.
Trending story number two.
I know, you can keep yelling it like a spell, like Harry Potter. It doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I'm doing the lead.
Love bites, Kevin Kelly, and you know who else does, too? Mr. Suarez, chasing the ball, blocked by an Italian defender. He buried his mouth briefly into Chiellini's shoulder. An Italian player fell over, apparently in pain, clutching his shoulder because Suarez had bit him there. He reeled away, holding his mouth like he was elbowed there, crumpled to the ground, making a big scene. This man, Kevin Kelly, had been banned for 7 matches in the past. This is his 3rd biting incident. What is wrong with this human being?
Well, he has a problem, and if you've seen his choppers, he could have used braces as a kid. You know, maybe we can talk to the folks at Invisalign, because those things are sticking out big time. So it might be, you know, it's kind of like Kevin Dunn. He's got like Kevin Dunn disease almost. Although Kevin Dunn did have the googly eye for the longest time. He had that surgically fixed.
Kevin, you're just never going to get over and looking like that. I'm sorry.
That's actually a very good Kevin Dunn impression. Like, now, what I need you to do is take a bite of a turkey sandwich.
Okay.
Then say that exact same thing, because right, that was Kevin in our headset all
the
time.
Let me get the turkey sandwich.
Hey, you're not going to get it.
That's what it sounded like. Those rotten choppers on him. But anyway, so this guy, for who? Uruguay?
Yes, yep.
Okay. He obviously has a problem. And only in soccer would somebody flop after getting bitten on the shoulder. I mean, it was obvious he got bit, right? But it's like you've been accidentally, you know, you've Kevin, been bitten by like a bee. You've been stung by a bee. Something's happened to you. You're not going to fall down like a fish.
What kind of bees are out there bitten by a bee? Listen,
stung by a bee.
You know what's even worse? You know, only in soccer does the guy biting somebody flop.
And not just the guy.
He flopped. He bit him, and then he flopped. He pretended he got hit in the mouth.
That's like in wrestling, if you threw a punch and hit somebody in the face and then fell down because you hurt your hand.
Right.
Both guys go down because the hand is you know, anyway.
Luis Suarez. What a pussy.
I think he's going to get, and all the reports say, he's going to get like up to 2 years.
Well, it's tough because FIFA is really corrupt and shitty, so you never know what they're going to do. I got to think he's at least going to miss the rest of this World Cup. And let me ask you this, right? So you wait 4 years. You go through all the qualifying. You get to the World Cup. You're on the verge of advancing past the opening pool round to the knockout round. And you bite someone. And now you get kicked out after 4 years of wait. I mean, what are you gaining by biting a guy? It doesn't. It's not like, I guess if you kicked him in the balls, you gouge his eye out, you break his knee. Like, something that's going to take someone out of the game. Does he really think biting someone on the shoulder is going to affect the outcome? Like, what do you? I don't understand what he thought he was gaining by doing.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a fetish thing.
He's psychotic.
Maybe he can't help himself. That's what he leads with, because his teeth are so sticking out so far from his face. You know, that he was probably like made fun of as a kid. So it's kind of like his superpower, right? And that's what he does. He bites people. He's the biter. Maybe he fashions himself as a modern day vampire. I don't know. But either
Kevin
way,
Thorne,
he's
maybe?
Gone. It's a little Kevin Thorne-ish.
Gangrel? It's
a little Gangrel would have been a great vampire in the World Cup. I would have loved to have seen Gangrel.
Imagine they come up in the middle of the field to the Ring of Fire. And you go,
that would be sweet.
Do that little smile and the head bob with the sunglasses on.
Dude, you go back and you watch that entrance now, and I'm sure they show them on the network. That is the best entrance in professional wrestling.
Do you know, though, on the network, they do those countdown shows? And one of them was Best Factions. And what they do is they give like a pool of like 10 or 12 on the website and fans vote. And the Brood came in second. Best Factions in wrestling history. And the Brood was second.
Best Factions?
Second.
Right. Hold on.
They weren't even second best in 1999 WWF.
Let me ask you. Okay, so DX, don't give me the order. DX, well, the Horsemen have to be on top. They have to be number one, and I don't care what anybody says. DX is there. And then the Nation of Domination for the Breeding Ground of the Rock. Isn't that like kind of the top three?
All right, well, you want to give you the 10 here?
The Ministry of Darkness, 4. But go ahead, give me the 10.
Okay, this is the WWE Countdown Top 10 Greatest Factions. We're going to give credit to our buddy Stranger in the Alps over at Scott Keith's wonderful RSPWFAQ.net. Number 10, Kevin, the Heenan Family.
Okay, good one.
Number 9, the Dangerous Alliance.
I wouldn't put the... Oh, God, now you're... Okay, I already got a problem with that. Okay. Go ahead.
Number 8, the Nation of Domination.
It's too low, but next.
Number 7, the Corporation.
With Shane McMahon at the helm?
I think this was Vince's. Like late 98, early 99.
God, I hate this list already. Hang on, I'm getting a pen.
It gets worse.
Oh, no. All right, hang on. So 10, Heenan. 9, Dangerous Alliance. 8, Nation.
Yep.
7.
Corporation.
Corp. Okay.
6, the Hart Foundation, meaning I think Jimmy Hart's family.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is Hart Foundation, which is the 97 version. Brett, Bulldog, Owen, Pillman, Anvil.
Give me a break. All right, 97, yeah, whatever.
5, Evolution. That's low for them, though. I would have thought they'd come in one when you know who's behind things.
All right, sure.
Four, fittingly, the Four Horsemen.
Okay.
Three, the New World Order.
Okay.
Two, you know, is the Brood.
Brood.
And one, obviously, is D-Generation X.
Oh. Okay. First of all, I mean, Evolution shouldn't even be in the conversation. Neither should the Brood. Neither should the night. Neither should the 97 version of the Heart Foundation.
No?
No.
Not even towards the bottom of the list?
I mean, if you want to, I mean, maybe top 15 or 20. But no way. Absolutely no way. They didn't do enough. They hardly did anything. And it was a four-month thing. So I don't care. I really don't care. It's so stupid. I mean, this list is ridiculous. The Brood, number two. I mean, they had a great entrance. They had a great look. They had a great entrance. But really, no. No. I didn't even get into it, Maria. I think Edge is so overrated. And she loves him. So, we would have fought.
I did not. I repeat, I did not sleep with that young intern.
Jesus. DX, I don't mind. NWO, I don't mind.
As a matter of fact, I was up all night.
Which DX was better?
Oh, the first.
The very original, right?
No.
No?
When it was Sean and... No, I'm sorry. When it was... Well, okay. I had a... Sean and Triple H, great. No doubt about it. Then adding China, great. No doubt about it. When you brought in the Kid and the Outlaws, I don't know. It just made it different. I liked it. I was a big Outlaws fan.
I don't think you can beat that original, though. Those first like 3 months of Sean, Hunter, and China were just... And Rude.
Yeah.
I thought the best.
Rude. That was great. All right, so that's the look at this, and thank you for who you gave credit to. That's good, a good get there. I disagree with this list. We could debate about this list forever.
Anyone glaring just at first glance like that you would have on there that wasn't on there?
See, the Ministry of Darkness I liked a lot. And if you're going to put the Corporation in there, don't you have to put the Ministry on there?
Yeah, they could have done a twofer there.
Maybe yeah.
Done a tie.
And then Greatest Faction, I mean, do you look at any other tag teams of the 80s as kind of a faction?
Yeah.
You know, the Heenan family. I get that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. What about you? Do you think there's any glaring omissions?
Dungeon of Doom, a Shark, and the Zodiac. That's a good one.
Well, when you put it that way, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Now, I think they got a lot of them. I just didn't really, you know, believe in the order. I mean, I think top three up there are going to be DX, Horsemen, and NWO. Dangerous Alliance was always one of my favorites.
Yeah, I liked the Dangerous Alliance a lot. I did, because I was a WCW fan. All right, so if we've got the top three, let's just say, for argument's sake, top three is DX, NWO, and Horsemen. How do you rank them?
All right. Do you want my personal enjoyment, or do you want what I think historically they should be?
Both.
Okay. Historically, importance to the business and legacy, I'd say NWO 1, Horsemen 2, DX 3.
Okay.
If I'm ranking by pure enjoyment, I'm saying late 97 DX 1, NWO 2, Horsemen 3. But that's only because I wasn't raised as an NWO guy, you know? So I like the Horsemen a lot. Like I understand why they're so great. But I can't say I get all excited for Horseman stuff as much as I would like early NWO stuff or DX 97.
I think, again, without the NWO, there would not be DX.
Oh, right.
DX was a response to the NWO.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're going by influence and legacy, you know, I mean, NWO is A. I mean, A number one right there. Has to be.
I think so. I really do. I would put and I'd go NWO, DX, Horseman, 1A and 2, because I don't think he can separate the NWO and DX.
Now, if
but
you
if you go 1-2, if you go 1-2-3, yeah, then it's NWO, DX, and the Horseman.
Now, if you want to say highest quality run, and looking at like top to bottom, ups and downs, I think Dangerous Alliance makes an argument for one, because they didn't have a downtime, right? They started, they were awesome, and they ended. The NWO, by the end, was completely watered down and ruined. The Horsemen, by the end, got all effed up and screwed
well,
up.
Well, see, I wouldn't include all of the Horsemen. Any group that included Paul Roma or...
hey, Power and Glory was pretty great, so you watch
Mongo, yeah, I'm baby. Sorry, is not...
I ain't coming on your show, Kevin Kelly.
When it's... You know, Jim Crockett Promotions, before Tully and Arn left, okay, when Tully and Arn came to the WWF, that was the end of the Horsemen, because they never came back as it was, okay? That was the end. 89?
Yeah.
80. So 80, what was that, well, late yeah. 85, early 86 to 89, that was the Horsemen. And... They single-handedly led the charge to fight against Vince McMahon's national expansion. How would Vince have gone differently? I don't think it would have gone better. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. But that's an interesting thought. That's something to think about for another time. Mm-hmm. I like it. All right, so we spent a lot of time talking about that one after I blew off the first story. But let's go to trending story number 3 here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
The government of North Korea today issued an unsurprisingly harsh statement about Seth Rogen's upcoming film, The Interview, denouncing the action comedy as an act of war. In the movie, Rogen and James Franco stars two journalists who, after scoring an interview with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, are ordered by the CIA to assassinate him. In a statement published by the state-run KCNA news agency, a foreign ministry spokesman characterized Rogen as a gangster filmmaker and called upon the U.S. to block the film. Kevin, should we bow to this fat, squirrely little pig known as Kim Jong-un, or do we run the movie?
First of all, I think they're a humorless people, these North Koreans. And I think that if you're Seth Rogen, you got to know this going in. But it's kind of like getting a speeding ticket out of state.
Right. What are you going to do? You know?
What are you going to do? Come get me? Listen, now, Virginia, I know I didn't have a driver's license when you pulled me over at that checkpoint. I live in PA. What are you going to do? Come on.
What are the odds that this actually starts a war?
I would say 0.01.
Really? Because I think this guy's just crazy enough that I put it like
well,
20%.
I think Seth Rogen would be crazy. James Franco would be crazy enough to do something, you know.
I think, Lil' Kim here is dangerous enough to do something really dumb, get just enough pissed off if they keep jabbing him.
I enjoy Kim Jong-un. I enjoy looking at pictures of him online.
His fat little hands.
Yes, I think he is he is a gross, stupid, pathetic, disturbed man that whenever I read stories about him, they just crack me up. Like the whole Dennis Rodman thing, I was in hysterics. I thought it was awesome.
His name's Kim. Rodman should have just offed him. He had the chance.
By the way, my good friend Brady at Main Street Mac at Saturday's Market in Middletown, PA, has a striking resemblance to Kim Jong-un.
Oh, my God. I'm not got macaroni there anymore.
Yeah, but listen, Brady wears glasses and a hat, so he doesn't really look like... I'm apparently, according to Brady, the only person that sees this, but I want you to go to Main Street Mac this week, this Saturday, at Saturday's Market, and not only have the great macaroni and cheese of three different varieties and flavors and a special breakfast mac that'll knock your socks off. But I want you to look at Brady deeply and longingly and wonder to yourself, is he really the grand poobah of North Korea? Because they really, really do look alike.
Just ask him his thoughts on Seth Rogen. That's the way to start it.
And he'll flip. That'll be it. And that'll be the giveaway. That's his tell.
So where does rank on the despots list for you?
It's such a secretive country. Mm. That we don't know, but you hear stories all the time that they've killed people, hundreds of thousands of dissidents. You know, they silence all opposition. Obviously, Hitler's at the top of any list.
Yeah.
You know, they should rename
the
despot list.
Unless the Dodi does a list, he'd be ninth. Ninth best.
Vince one, Paul Heyman two, Mussolini three.
Hitler nine, Eric
Hitler
Bischoff
nine. Right. No, I think Kim Jong-un is is he a fiction? Is he a fictional character? Is this state of North Korea so secretive that they create all of their own propaganda and that none of these stories are true?
Or is he even true? So you're saying he doesn't even exist?
Oh, I think he may exist. I think he just, does he do all of these crazy things?
Is he a robot?
Or is he just a robot? Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying, JR. Yes, you read my mind.
I think we need to get some money out of the coffers from PTBN, get the Kevin Kelly Learjet fired up, send McGinn over to North Korea, and get this thing sorted out.
Good. I'm glad you said McGinn, because I think he is perfect for this task.
Yes. Look at that picture he always brags about, right? You flash that to Kim, little Kim, and you know, it'll be ladies' night all night long over there.
You know, Kim Jong-il was a great leader, the senior. But now Un?
Yeah. That was our trivia team name one night. Kim Jong, licensed to ill. You like that?
That's really good. All right. So listen, I think if you're Seth Rogen and you're James Franco, you thank Kim Jong-un for the publicity and you try to work this into the media junket somehow. Maybe Seth Rogen and James Franco and Dan McGinn, three-headed monster, fly over the Kevin Kelly Lear and they get over there and wreak all kinds of havoc. What do you think?
I think McGinn's picture is the prettiest of all the headshots. Let me ask you this. Favorite Seth Rogen movie?
Don't have one.
None?
No.
Superbad?
Nope. Never saw it.
Never saw it?
Nope.
Superbad's pretty good.
Not a big fan. I'm old.
Knocked Up? You are old.
I am old. I watched 10 minutes of Knocked Up and I had to shut it off. I hate
movies. Maybe you belong in North Korea.
Dude, seriously, I hate movies that have a lot of jump cuts during dialogue.
Can't keep up.
And Judd, I know, it just makes me seasick. Judd Apatow, all his movies just have 1,000 cuts. I just like a scene. Okay, the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds. Okay, one camera, one take. I don't know how many takes it took, but that's all it was. It was just one long scene. I love that. That's filmmaking. So,
40-Year-Old Virgin, you don't like that?
I liked 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That was a very great movie.
That was a terrific movie. Very good.
I believe he lived in outside of Worcester. No, I don't know. All right. You ready for trending story number four?
I love trending stories. You know that. Let's go to trending story number four.
All right. This one's a little bit more serious now. I know you said you like the fun ones, but this is one we have to talk about because it's a great story. So a press release came out last night out of Pittsburgh, and WWE Chief Brand Officer Stephanie McMahon and her husband, Executive Vice President Paul Triple H Levesque, have announced the formation of Connor's Cure, a charity that they personally funded through the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh Foundation to honor Pittsburgh native Connor Michalak. Connor passed away at the age of 8 earlier this year from a rare tumor that affects the brain and spinal cord. Donations to Connor's Cure will provide funds for pediatric brain and spinal cancer research. Kevin, have you seen the video that they put together?
No, I haven't, because somebody said that'll make you cry.
Oh, you will need a whole box of tissues. It is,
dude, I cried
watch.
During the first video.
It is a tough watch. If you go to playstimulation.com, we have the press release up and we have the video up. So I think it's worth watching, even though it's going to make you sad. It'll also make you smile. And I thought one of the coolest things with Connor is it brings you back to a time when we were able to look at wrestling and our heroes the same way, seeing the smile and the excitement that he had in his face in a time that was just brutally rough, I'm sure, for him. And the you know, his father was so thankful, and him being brought to tears, and the wrestlers and everyone, Stephanie being brought to tears in the video. And it was an awesome relationship they built with this kid. I think they really made things great for him in his final months. And he was at WrestleMania at ringside. He hugged Daniel Bryan when he won the title. And it's a fantastic story. I'm getting choked up now just talking about it.
But yeah.
It's definitely worth watching the video and checking it out.
Was the relationship first with Daniel Bryan?
I think he just met him and Kane, like at that radio. They did like a radio show, meet and greet kind of thing. And that was like the first time they met, and he let him put the crossface on him. And that's when they were heels, or the Yes Lock, I mean. And, And then from there, I think they just kind of became in touch with the family and they started doing a lot of stuff for them.
Okay.
Come to live events.
When I watched that first piece, I thought that Stephanie kind of glommed onto that whole deal, that it was really Daniel Bryan's thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was, you know, she was there. So anyway.
No, I don't think he is. I think the company did a lot for that. If you watch the full video, I don't get that impression. They even did the thing in the ring where Connor got to come in full uniform or full regalia and pin Triple H and they counted.
Oh, I saw that. I love that.
Yeah.
That was great. And then they showed him hugging Daniel Bryan after he won at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and he was calling that out. Was neat. So you might have seen the actual one I'm talking about then. So
I did see that. Yeah. Like they didn't do, or was it something new?
Well, no, it's the one where at the end they talk about him passing away after WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. That did make me cry. That was so sad.
He talks about it, talks to AJ Lee and tells her to stop being crazy and everything. It was really good. I mean, it was really well done. So I just wanted to take a moment to recognize them for that and recognize Connor as well.
Good job.
Great wrestling fan.
There. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I like the best is any time where I could do any kind of charity work at all, anything to help raise money, fund a cause, whatever it might be, seemingly small or insignificant, it doesn't matter. I don't get asked enough. You know, people need to ask me because I don't know where all of these things are. But seriously, if anybody ever is looking for some help or some, you know, some mentions, I'd be happy to do that here. And anything that I could do to help, let me know. Just send, do I have an email address through this?
You do. KevinKellyShow@PlaceToBeNation.com.
Email KevinKellyShow@PlaceToBeNation.com if you know of a charity or you're looking for something to get some exposure, or even if you want to come on the air and talk about it. I don't care. I'd be happy to have you on. Let's do it. You know, causes like this and causes that, you know, people don't know about that are flying under the radar, whatever we could do to help, you know, just let us know. I know my buddy, Ryan Caldwell is, very active in the March of Dimes because he and his wife, they lost a baby, just before, she was to be born. And, it was very traumatic, of course, as you could imagine. So they went on to create, and he also did stand-up comedy. So they went on to create a charity called Last for Aubrey. Their daughter was to be named Aubrey. And so they wanted to do like a night of stand-up comedy. And they raised thousands of dollars with a few Last for Aubrey shows. So any of those little charity things along the way, man, let's do it. Let's fire it up. Let's make it happen.
Without a doubt. Agreed. 100%.
All right. So so that's trending stories. And there's big news from the world of the NBA.
Yes.
With tomorrow night being the draft, the Knicks are back in the mix, and I'm very happy. As do you want to read the story, or you want me to do it?
No, you read it, because I don't know if I'm up on the one you're talking about.
Oh, the Mavs and the Knicks have agreed to a six-player trade that will send Tyson Chandler back to Dallas.
Okay, I did see that one. So is a Mavs pick, are they getting back in the first round? Is that what's up?
They're also sending Raymond Felton, which is great. That is the best part of this trade. Dallas has two starters that are coming to New York, Jose Calderon and center Samuel Dalembert, along with Shane Larkin, and the 34th, another job guy named Wayne Ellington, the 34th and 51st picks in Thursday's draft. So not in the first round, but two second rounders.
Okay. And this excites you?
Yes. Anything that the Knicks do that gets them beyond the status quo.
And do you think they have any chance to get LeBron?
5%. I don't, you know what? I'd give them about a 5% chance of getting Melo back too.
Oh, he ain't going back there.
No, I seriously don't think he's a Phil Jackson guy.
Well, now there's a rumor too going around that Houston is making a play for Melo and LeBron. Basically, they would sign one and then sign and trade for one of them and trade Harden out. So say they sign LeBron. Then they would, the Knicks would sign Melo, trade him for Harden to the Rockets.
We'll take it.
Oh, you definitely. You don't think I like Harden a lot, but isn't he basically Carmelo? Aren't they the same kind of guy?
He is. I would take. Okay, so now if you've got Shane Larkin, and you've got, and if you get, I'm trying to read. Yeah, everybody loves this guy. The Shane Larkin cat. And if you get Harden, okay, so he's your 2-3.
I think we already got Harden tonight.
Yeah, 3-4.
Yep.
Iman Shumpert, I don't know. Where does he fit in? I don't know where anybody fits in.
Yeah, it's weird. So what are your feelings on poor Joel Embiid?
I feel badly for Joel Embiid. If there was ever a time where I wished that the NCAA and the NBA would have a heart and say, let this kid go back to college
right.
for a year or two, it would be now.
I mean, he's still probably really going to go top 10, though, I think.
Do you think so?
I mean, it's risky, but it depends what the team making the pick is. Like, if you're the Celtics, right, do you risk, you know, rolling the dice on this guy knowing that you already have a decent team in place? Maybe if he pans out, he gets a superstar at pick six. On the flip side, if you're the Celtics, your franchise has a really hard time getting free agents to come your way. You're very rarely up this high in the draft nowadays. Do you really want to roll the dice on a guy that may never play? So there's a lot of options out there. Like, say, I think the Lakers are very similar, but they may be in a better position to take him because they can get free agents without a problem. So maybe they can roll the dice on a guy like Embiid, you know? Or the Sixers, who have a whole bunch, a boatload of picks.
See, I think the Sixers have to be very careful because the fan base here in this area, in the Philly area, they're on edge and they're ready to, they've been patient, but I think they're ready to flip and they may never come back.
They get the 3 and the 10. So they should get at least someone pretty good, either Parker, Wiggins, or Exum.
Well, if I've got the 3, well, at 10, I'm getting Doug McDermott. Isn't he the guy from Creighton?
Yes.
Okay. That's who I want.
I'm seeing him maybe going, I read maybe the Hornets, which would be right Hornets, before Philly.
Yeah, at 9. Yeah. I would vote. How do you feel about that as a Hornets fan?
A renewed Hornets fan. I like McDermott. Obviously, I saw him play a lot as part of the Big East with Creighton. I very watched him up close and personal a few times. And I think he's a great player. I think he's a guy that will transition well. I saw a lot of comparisons like Adam Morrison. But
yeah,
McDermott.
Is he Adam Morrison or not?
I mean, I can't. I don't want to say I can compare tremendously here because I didn't see a lot of Adam Morrison in college. I knew who he was. I saw some games of him. I didn't watch almost all of his games like I have with McDermott. But I think McDermott's pretty legitimate. I think he's a scorer that can score. And I don't think he was. I mean, was he a great defender? No. But I think he's a guy that can come off the bench and give you big, big points. Or for a team that like the Hornets that has a depth, you know, dearth of stars, he could step right in. So
where do you think? Your man from Providence is going to go.
He's gaining some steam because early on he was on no mock drafts. And now Chad Ford's most recent had him going to Indiana in the second round. Word started picking up late 2 weeks ago, I think. And he started getting more visits from some of the second round teams. I don't think teams realize how athletic he is. I think they think he's just a short shooter, but he can dunk and he has a really good vertical. His defense improved. He's not a great defender. I think he's a good system guy. I think he needs to be on a team that has a really good system in place that will know how to utilize him. Either that or a team that really needs point guard help. And I look at the Miami Heat as a team that really doesn't have a true point guard on their bench. So I think a guy like Bryce Cotton can step in right there and get some real minutes to prove himself off the bat.
Okay, so let's look at the guys that have opted out and the two more that will have the decision to make, no pun intended. We know Melo is out. We know that LeBron has opted out.
Yep.
Do you think that Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh or Chris Bosh, will either of them or both of them, will they opt out?
I think Bosh will because this is his chance to get paid. He's coming off a pretty good season. So I think he wants to become the guy somewhere and go get paid. So yes, I think Bosh definitely opts out. Wade, I don't think so because I'm not sure he will get money like he's getting in Miami anywhere else.
I agree with you. I think Wade stays. I think Bosh goes. Where's the landing spot for LeBron right now?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, the smart money price says he goes back to Miami and that this was just to push Riley into doing something to revamp the team. I saw a speculation out there today that he could sign like a 3-year deal with an opt-out after 2 that would get him back out there at age 31. And Durant would also be a free agent at that point. I don't see Durant being the type of guy, though, that would go with LeBron somewhere like he wants. I mean, I think Houston's interesting. If they could pull off getting Melo and you have Dwight Howard, LeBron, and Melo, I mean, that'd be pretty interesting there. I think the Bulls are an interesting fit for either Melo or LeBron. I think it'd be an upset if neither go there. I think Melo's headed to Chicago. Cleveland is still in the mix, of course. I don't know how bad the feelings are with Dan Gilbert, the owner, but you know the Cavs have some interesting picks. If you can sign LeBron, you add him to Kyrie Irving, their number one pick this year, and maybe sign someone else too. I think they could be an interesting option as well.
Well, I think LeBron, if he's all about winning championships, he needs to stay in the East.
Yes, I think that's not a fantastic point.
Because the odds of getting to the championship are much greater if you're in the Eastern Conference, which sucks. So that immediately takes Houston, even Dallas now. They're talking about right. LeBron.
I can't say Dallas.
Any of the West Coast teams out of the mix, and it really focuses on Miami or Cleveland. So
or
if you're
Bulls.
LeBron.
I think the Bulls are out there. I really think they got a shot. They got a really good team in place.
They do. What do you think about Thibodeau with LeBron? You think it would work?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. That was
I mean, LeBron likes LeBron plays really good defense, and he cares. I mean, despite what people say and like to make fun of LeBron James, the guy obviously cares. He works his ass off, and he plays really hard on defense, and I think Tibbs would love him. I mean, who's not going to take LeBron James?
I think he is awesome. I think I have all the respect in the world for LeBron, and what's a more attractive option? Is it Chicago? Is it Cleveland? Or is it Miami? I think you stand in a better position to take Chicago over the hump, which is close. Cleveland has the furthest to go. Miami may have a long distance to go because they're still probably going to be saddled with Dwayne Wade.
Right. I think Cleveland has the best long term for him. Like if he wants to sign a longer deal and settle back down there and build with a young team, like they could be really good for a while.
That's true.
The Bulls is probably like a quick window.
And the number one pick tomorrow night in the NBA draft will be?
I say the Cavs end up keeping it, and they take Andrew Wiggins because that is what the owner wants.
I agree with you.
I think he overrules the rest of the people who want Jabari Parker.
I don't know where the hate for Andrew Wiggins is coming from. LeBron, I mean, look at Jordan. He didn't average 20 points a game in college. I don't know where the heat's coming from.
He played longer, though, in college, didn't he? Wasn't he there 3 years?
At least.
I think the problem is, and Danny Ainge articulated this really well, he did a local interview saying everyone was gaga about these draft classes, but you know these guys all look great in high school and travel teams and AAU, and then they get to college and it's a big change. So a lot of them struggle in that first year, and then they go right to being pro. So you need to either look past it and say you can see what's there, or you need to say, you know what? This guy couldn't get it done when it mattered in his first year in college, and now he's coming out. I'm afraid of him.
All right, and let's quickly transition to the World Cup.
Hang on, because I got one more question I want to ask you about the NBA thing.
Okay.
LeBron James, coming out at age 29, multiple-time MVP, two-time world champion. Is he the biggest, best free agent of all time in any sport? Has there ever been a free agent in a better position than LeBron James is right now?
It's interesting because it used to be that the free agent was the guy, but now you can't just win with the guy. You got to have the total package. You know, LeBron is the best player in basketball, but he still needs a lot of help around him to win. So I don't know. Obviously he is in the best position
to be the
biggest free agent ever. I mean, look at him on the market though. He's what he brings to a club, I don't think you can pay enough for. There's not enough dollar signs for what he means.
If this was baseball, what would he be making right now? What offer would he get?
He would be the highest paid player. I would say he would sign a 10-year, $300 million contract.
That was exactly the numbers I had been saying.
Really? Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Yeah. He'd be a $30 million a year guy, no doubt in my mind, in baseball, worth every penny. Warrior. Dude's a warrior, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have tremendous respect for him. All right, let's quickly transition to the World Cup. The USA, as we record this, getting ready to play Germany on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
No more Josie Altidore. He's at least out for this game. They need a point at least. They could even advance into the knockout round with losing and getting some help.
God, do you think the U.S.
But do you think the USA advances, JR?
How heartbroken were you on Sunday night?
I didn't know it happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you didn't know.
I was in pay-per-view zone. I had no idea that it happened. But yeah, that's to lose in like the final 20 seconds
it was
like that.
The latest goal scored in World Cup history.
That's crazy. Tough. See, that's another thing I think is a work with soccer. You know, injury this time? Stoppage time. Yeah. Oh, this time they're adding on. What a bunch of crapola that is. Crap. Anyway, do they advance?
I mean, I don't know. I don't proclaim to be enough of an expert. My heart says yes. I really wonder with the whole wink-wink thing that I've been hearing about. I mean, this seems like it's something that actually does happen in soccer. And Germany's known to have done it in the past, have kind of a wink-wink deal with teams that just play a basically game of kickball back and forth across the field and play to a draw because it benefits both of them. You know, it gets Germany the top spot, and it would get the U.S. in. So I guess it depends how much of a threat Germany sees the U.S. to being going forward, if they want them out, if they care. You know, would they rather have them in than Portugal or who's the other team in the bracket?
Ghana.
Ghana, yes. Would they rather have the U.S. in than Portugal or Ghana? Maybe. So, I don't know. I think there's a very good possibility we see a very bland match tomorrow that goes nothing.
That would be great, and I think that's what will happen, and I think the USA advances.
They have to. I mean, soccer is just ready to blow up right now, I think, in the United States. And if they make it around and get into the knockout round, I think it'll really help the sport.
Yeah, I hope they stop. I hope the zealots stop with the you need to start calling it football and get rid of that barbaric NFL, and this is what needs to happen. They need people that say that need to stop.
Yes. They're not helping the cause.
Right. And the overall winner will be who?
Well, yours is done because you had Spain.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm sticking with Brazil.
Okay.
I picked them in the beginning. I'm going to stick with them. A lot of pressure on them to win. Germany would be my second choice.
I got a soft spot for the Netherlands. I think Van Persie is pretty awesome, so we'll see. Did they advance?
The Dutch?
The Dutchies?
I don't know.
I think they did. I think if they're in, then they're my pick.
Honduras lost. I don't know if you're upset about that.
Son of a monkey.
I know you had them going deep.
Well, that's because half the team is illegally crossing the border into the U.S.
All right, RJ.
Thanks, RJ.
Let me see. Who are we looking up here?
The Netherlands.
Horncastle, writing for ESPN. Netherlands. I don't know. This page on ESPN's World Cup is all.
Yeah. Oh, it is the worst.
I can't tell what the hell's going on. All right, team tables. Let me see. What's this? Brazil is has 7 points. So they're leading their team, them and Mexico. Netherlands and Chile. Yes, Netherlands has 9 points in their group.
Ah, they're in.
They knocked off your Spain, your Spaniards, and poor Australia. Good 3-0. Showing, but it came up short.
Oh, I feel bad for the Aussies.
Yeah, they had a nice showing. Colombia and Greece look like they're set to move on. Ivory Coast was our buddy Jeff Machado's upset pick. Looks like they may not even make it. I think they still have another game to go, though. Costa Rica and Uruguay have moved on. Italy and England go home in that bracket.
Yeah, oof.
France and the Swiss look like they got things pretty much wrapped up. Argentina and Nigeria. Nigeria may still... Can they still lose out? I don't know how this works. They played 3 games already. Is tomorrow the final day?
Feels like it.
It looks like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
Well, no, we got another group after that, so I don't know how many games. Yeah, because they get 4 games in, right? Because we saw Belgium, Algeria, Russia, and South Korea. Their bracket has to go. So it looks like those other ones I read, those are all...
The Belgies haven't lost in a long time.
They are 2-0. They have 6 points right now. Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Iran are out in there. So.
Poor Bosnia.
Yeah, what about poor Herzegovina? Feel worse.
Well, no. I know, right? If you're Herzegovina, you're the second fiddle. It's one country, 2 names, and all anybody ever calls it is Bosnia.
Right.
Bastards.
All right. If you want more World Cup talk, check out the Sports Lounge podcast on PlayStation.com. They went through, we have our expert Jeff Machado on. They had a lot of time in the last 2 episodes. And Kevin, your friend Sean Grandy was on, joined the boys to talk about NBA draft. So if you want to hear more about the draft from actual experts, not us, check out Grandy's appearance. Talked a lot about the Celtics, talked a lot about LeBron James and the finals. A lot of cool stuff from the Grandy man. And episode 4 of The Lounge should be coming up in the next few days with more World Cup stuff. So.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, and then we're going to come back to wrap up this crazy episode of the Kevin Kelly Show. We're going to play, we'll ask some Twitter questions. We've got a game for you. We're going to look into sleaze and more as the Kevin Kelly Show rolls on here on the Place to Be Nation.
Kevin, please don't say scoring and soaring anymore. That's not a good phrase for TV. Something dumb and strange.
Never shy of a living thing. Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show. And I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Hello, it's the soul trooping in with the Jungle Patrol, and this one's about the chaos.
Okay, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. We're working on a special guest for a couple of weeks from now. We'll have the announcement probably middle of next week. Definitely before we record two Wednesdays from now. How about that? We'll make that a deal. But we're working on a couple of cool things, and we'll see if that all pans out. Anyway, you know, one of the things that we like to do here on the Kevin Kelly Show is we like to take your questions via Twitter. And they ask some good ones, and everybody puts the hashtag AskKevin with the KK capitalized, which I got the idea from my boys Red Dragon, and because the DR was capitalized as a way to say up yours to Davey Richards. So that was where I got that idea. And do we have Twitter questions this week?
Of course, Darryl, we do. We always would. Have them in the bank.
I love
here.
Twitter questions.
Money right. In the bank, sir. All right. Let's go to I Am James Stewart. And James Stewart, if you don't know, is the producer for the fabulous drawing a blank. Felger and Maserati show. No, Felger and Maserati on the Sports Hub here in Boston. A big wrestling fan. Just heard him today. He interviewed Hulk Hogan for the station. And Jimmy Stewart's a really cool guy. He retweets us a lot on Twitter. So shout out to Mr. Stewart. Thank you for your support. And he asks you a question, Kevin. And that is, what was the best broadcast moment of your career, and what was the most difficult?
Well, I will. I mean, this may sound cheap, but the best moment on my broadcast career was this past Sunday, calling Best in the World. Just being able to see it.
Let's say, as of Saturday night, what was your best moment?
Oh, as of Saturday night, Gosh, I don't know. I got to go back to my debut when I started, you know, like in 1991. That was the best. I loved it.
You don't think it was the explosions in the house?
No, that was stupid. As Vince had to insert himself in it. That was crappy. I liked, when I first started, and I was supposed to just do ringside interviews, and then the play-by-play guy got sick, and I got to call the play-by-play. That's pretty awesome. That's how you get started in your career. And then, of course, this past Sunday, I really enjoyed doing that the best. That was my favorite moment. The worst, most difficult, was having to interview Jeff Jarrett and
Deborah,
after Owen Hart had fallen. And all three of us were legitimately crying because we had just seen what had happened with Owen. And so that was the toughest thing I ever had to do, by far. And nothing could ever top it. That was horrible. But thank you to those guys. I'll thank them forever for getting through that, because we were being yelled at to do so. So anyway, that was that. Good question, though.
All right. Good one here from I Am Darcy. I enjoyed the NWA Great American Bash tour in the 80s. Would WWE do a SummerSlam tour and be successful?
Well, okay. Now, the Great American Bash tour was not successful. Depends on who you ask. Some of them did really well, and some of them did terribly. And a series of outdoor stadium shows mixed in with some big arenas. Yeah, why not? I think it could be great. I love an outdoor show. Ring of Honor's doing one in Brooklyn in July, I believe. They could. I think they could do anything well. You know, the CNE in Toronto is where they had that one show in 86, I think it was, which I believe was like a precursor to SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And they drew a monster crowd, much bigger than what they had anticipated, with Hogan and Orndorff on top.
Yep.
I think they can. I think they can draw in the summer, and I think they can pack arenas and they can pack stadiums. Absolutely. I think it'd be a great idea.
All right, let's go one more here. Another great one. It is a good question tonight. From Barth Maddie. How many of the ROH talents still have regular 9-to-5 jobs? You don't have to give any names, but an example would be cool.
Okay. Most common guys have personal training jobs, which gives them access to the gym. And it also allows them to kind of work a flexible schedule. I know Mike Bennett used to cut grass at a golf course. He doesn't do that anymore, though. We, of course, know the Briscoes and what they do. Jay has a landscaping business, and they also take care of the family chicken farm. I have a cool job. I work for a distributing company.
You work for PlaceMination.com.
I work for PlaceToBeNation.com, but I moonlight from 9-to-5 and I work for HP. I don't work directly for HP, but that's what I rep. And I don't know. I can't think of anybody that has a really cool job. Some guys have really crummy jobs.
Yeah.
And then like Truth Martini, he supplants his income with gambling. He goes to the casino and wins a lot. Go figure. That's how you get it done, right?
I wish that was the way I could get it done.
Hey, man, he's got that magic touch. That's what it takes. So, yeah, a lot of these guys really scratching their ass when it comes time to pay bills, though. Because they don't make money outside of wrestling, you know?
We could always sell on Amazon, Brutal Bob.
Yeah, his eBay store rocks. No doubt about it. Go visit Brutal Bob. Go visit his eBay store. Look him up. Brutal Bob, at Brutal Bob Evans on Twitter. Ask him all about it. Tell him we said hello here on the Place to Be Nation. Let's do one more question. Come on. We got to have one more.
Okay. We sure do. Let's... Okay. Am I back? I was having problems with my mute button. All right. One more. Let's go to the honor report. Our buddy Steven Sutton. What has been Kevin's most frustrating storyline ever plugged to him?
Most frustrating storyline that I... Well, okay. Frustrating that I had to explain. Frustrating that I had to... that's a difficult question to answer. Well, the thing that I hated the most was the XFL. I had to smile.
Give me my football.
And try to find a way to shine that turd. Every chance I could, I just would grit my teeth and just be like, yeesh, I got to put this thing over. I hated the XFL. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. And the funniest thing, I used to do Superstars every week, which was a voiceover read show. So they would save the outtakes and, you know, it would be, and I would intentionally bust a take every once in a while. And the producers were great. And the audio engineer was great. They all still work at the company. But, it was, hey, the line was, this is the final weekend of the regular season of the XFL. And then I said, please hold your applause. And they just, that's how I felt. I hated the XFL. I hated having to get it over. I was glad when it was gone. And it was embarrassing as a football fan, as somebody who worked for the WWE.
Kevin, you're going to Birmingham to call the Bolts game.
I still have my XFL jacket, which I would gladly sell on eBay if someone would buy it.
We should give it away in a contest for the Kevin Kelly Show.
All right. I hate that thing.
I'll take it.
Anyway, all right.
You know who would wear it? Scott would wear it with pride.
Scott Griscola. Let's move on from Twitter. Good questions.
Yeah, great questions this week. Keep
very good questions. At Real Kevin Kelly, and then on the hashtag, put Ask Kevin.
Okay, and I'm sure Jimmy Stewart's listening, obviously, if he's tweeting us questions. Let's get Kevin on Felger and Maz, or get him on Touch and Rich. Let's get him on the Hub, talk about a show, and talk about Ring of Honor, huh? Let's get that
Let's get it done.
All right, sleaze thread time, Kev, you ready?
Oh, I love sleaze. Tell me the genesis, where did this all begin?
Hang on, I had to fire up the music.
Oh.
All right, so the sleaze thread generated on the old DVDVR message board, Death Valley Driver video review message board, and it was an urban legend thread that blew up and kept going and kept going and kept going. People posting all these rumors and stories they had heard throughout the years, and it really just blew up, and someone captured them all into one giant document. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things. We have done 10 so far, and this has been our biweekly game we've been playing here for the last few episodes because it's a lot of fun. And the work is already done for us, so it's a lot easier.
Yes.
All right, you ready for a few more here tonight, Kevin?
Ready.
All right. This is pretty fitting, considering what just aired on the Legends House recently. Steve Lombardi was Pat Patterson's secret lover.
See, you've asked me this now twice.
Did we do this one already?
We did this one already.
Okay,
and the odds of that are 0.0. I already told you that.
Yeah, right. Okay, we did do that one. I'm sorry. We left off with Giant Baba's penis enlargement surgery. Okay, sorry. My bad.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Victor Quiñones tried to rape Tarzan Boy at gunpoint in a bathroom stall, and he did actually rape a rookie Japanese wrestler at gunpoint in a stall one time.
Probably 417% true.
Oof. Not a big Quiñones guy?
I'd love Victor. He's dead. But listen, the closet that Pat Patterson came out of, he wasn't alone in. Let's just say that.
Did you see that? What did you think? We never talked about that on here yet, have we?
Pat had been out for so many decades. I think it was a joke. And by the way, whoever sent me pictures of Rude DeBone, a nice job.
That was me.
Attaboy. She All married right. Josh. He's such a little creep.
Yeah, he's doing well for himself. He doesn't have to worry about getting fired now.
Right, but he's creepy.
Well, you're creepy.
Anyway, I'm not marrying somebody who looks like that.
Chris Champion went to jail for inappropriately touching an underage girl. He did this while wearing his Cowabunga the Ninja Turtle costume from the Independent Circuit.
This story, I've heard it before.
I love that you've heard like all of these before. That validates a lot of them to me.
The details of it, I don't know if I could get in, if I know, like, could he have touched an underage girl? Yes. Was he wearing a Ninja Turtle suit that he wore in the Indies? I don't know about that part. That sounds like horse shit.
You think Michael Bay's on the phone with him right now?
Yeah.
Get him in the movie?
Isn't he dead?
Michael Bay?
Is Chris Champion... No, is Chris Champion dead or alive?
No, I think he's alive. He was Yoshi Kwan, right?
What the hell? How about Sean Royal?
I don't know about Sean Royal. His Dan McGinn, can you do a little research for us? Sean Royal, Chris Champion. Were they? Were they the new breed? Was that them?
They were the new breed. Yeah. Anything could happen when you're...
Oh, he was new breeding. All right.
Listen, when you're in those days, it's easy to get mixed up with underage girls. It really is. They weren't doing a lot of fact-checking back then, let's just say.
Look, if you want to do this confessional style, Kevin, it's all here for you.
Yeah, but look at me and look at Chris Champion.
Sure.
You think anybody that looks like me is going to get any girls on the road?
Dan McGinn has confirmed that Chris Champion is alive.
Okay. Thank you, Dan McGinn. Good job. Okay.
All right, next. El Dandy has banged both Lita and Fisherman and, Fishman and Lola Gonzalez's hot daughter. So two chicks that he's banged, one being Lita.
El Dandy, huh?
El Dandy.
You know, I think, well, gosh, I'm going to say 70, I'm going to say 69% true. More than two-thirds true. I can't 100% confirm it.
Now, is that because of what you know about El Dandy or because of what you know about Lita?
More of what I know about Lita. I wouldn't know El Dandy if I fell over him.
If I fell over him,
that'd be a story.
You'd be thrown off the PWO message board.
What about the Villanos? Because there was a rumor. There was a rumor that Villano 4 and 5 had been eaten by the Giant. Was there any truth to that rumor?
Eaten by the Giants?
Oh, the Giant, as in Paul White, when he had gotten so fat in WCW, and then there was like,
I was still thinking of the sex thing here.
We're only down to like three or four Villanos. What happened to five? Let's just say, oh, maybe Paul White ate him.
I got you.
Anyway.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy, though?
How dare I? Let's move on.
Okay. Manny Fernandez once took a dump in number one Paul Jones's brand new Stetson hat, put it back in a hot hat box on the airplane like nothing happened, and sat next to Jones for the remainder of the flight. And was he then called number two, Paul Jones?
Ha ha. This is, I don't know this to be true, but that is a tremendous story that I would say leans towards, I would say probably 80% true.
Right. There's definitely a good chance of this one.
Because that's the type of ribs they pulled back then. The defecating rib was very common. Now, I have never taken a dump in anything other than a toilet and a diaper when I was a baby.
How about an upper decker? Have you ever done that?
The back would do an upper decker to some, but I don't know if I could. That's my point. I've never tried to
without breaking the toilet.
I've never tried to shit in someone's hat. I don't know how difficult it would be.
What is it with wrestlers and shit? What is the obsession?
Exactly, right? Like
Kevin, in this next scene, you're going to take a shit in Scott Hall's bag.
Thank you very much, Kevin Dunn. They, listen, when they want you out and they don't like you, they shit in your bag. If there ever is a sleaze thread mention about Mark Henry eating a shit sandwich, that is 100% true. And he did do it.
Call Big Billy Busick in here. I gotta take a shit in his hat.
Right in his derby.
I'll make that mustache point up even further.
It is a and Paul Jones seems to be the kind of guy that people would want to shit in his hat.
Okay. All right, we got a few more I really want to get to here, so let's move on.
All right, let's do it.
This one we're going to breeze through. Dusty Rhodes booked Rick Steiner to beat Ric Flair in 20 seconds at Starrcade 88 before being overruled.
Oh, false. I don't think that happened.
Okay. Superstar Graham once injected Clorox on a dare.
Probably. I'd say more than likely true.
Right? That definitely seems true.
Yep.
All right.
They would did anything back then.
Earlier, we talked about the Brood. Gangrel and Luna are swingers and would swap out with other couples.
Well, that's past tense now since she's dead. Way to go.
Sorry.
Yes, they would. That's 100% true.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So what was Luna like, Kevin?
I don't know. What?
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm excited. You're going to break some news?
No, never. No, I'm not breaking any news. She's dead, but the guy she banged didn't.
Well, who are we asking? You said we were going to ask someone.
I can't tell you the name. I stopped myself.
You could tell me it was Kerrigan.
It's Raymond Felton, the former Knicks guard, now been traded to Dallas.
He's been eating well. Like, what's the Rob Ford? I got plenty to eat at home.
What about Sonny? You got any Sonny Sleaze on there? Come on.
She'll be coming up, but we got a couple more we're going to get to here. Jimmy Snuka killed his girlfriend and played the innocent savage while Vince did the talking for him.
That's Here's the truth.
Yeah.
I worked for my first boss in wrestling was married to the sister of the guy that Jimmy Snuka killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Argentina. It's real? All set?
Yeah, it is. They've reopened the case here in PA. The local district attorney is looking at it again. It's a 28-year-old case. I don't know if they're going to find any, or it was 84, I think.
Yep.
So 83. So it's almost 30. It's 30 years old. So I don't know if they're ever going to do anything with it, but they need to.
All right. Last one. Raven got caught in a hotel room with Becky Bayless at age 14. And Becky also slept with Joel Gertner and his wife.
Well, listen, I don't know if Raven was 14 when he slept with Becky Bayless.
No, Becky Bayless was 14.
Was she only 14? Wow. This is
what the story's saying. Raven was caught in a hotel room with a 14-year-old Becky Bayless.
Well, who caught him? I mean, what was it? Like,
probably, I'm guessing, Saturn or Stevie Richards, one of the
probably
flocks.
Stevie.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with Stevie? I thought he was going to be a guest on the show.
That's on you. He doesn't like you. I don't know what the problem is.
He just didn't want to do it for some reason.
He came on with me and Scott.
He never said he wanted to do it or not wanted to do it. I was like, would you be a guest? He's like, when can I be on? And I told him, and he was like, I don't know if I'll be available at that time.
Listen,
I'm like,
Kevin, well, Stevie's just never going to get over here, okay?
Stevie. Yeah, I would probably say that is true. And I did not know that Joel Gertner was married. So that's kind of the swerve of that story to me.
How can Joel Gertner doing threesomes with Becky Bayless? How the hell did he land in that?
He's got a good rap.
I guess so.
I think he's got the gift of gab. I think he could do it. Absolutely. Okay. That and the right pharmaceuticals, anything can happen.
All right. Well, that brings an end to this week's Sleaze Thread Truth or Dare. Kevin, are you aware that you are 12-2 in WWE pay-per-view pick'em?
Woohoo!
Now, you watch no TV, and you've so far picked Extreme Rules and Payback, and you've gone 12-14. We only have 4 matches announced for Sunday. We got a few minutes here, so we'll quickly go through these. Singles match for the Divas Championship, Paige versus Naomi.
I think that it's Paige, but I think her time is running out.
Sadly. Did you see that picture that was floating around of the Jerry Lawler staring at her ass?
No.
It's pretty funny. I will try and find that one.
What a shock.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good picture. The Usos defend the tag team titles against the Wyatt family.
I think the Wyatts win this one.
I think they would have to, yeah.
I'm picking the Wyatts.
Usos have had a good run, though.
They have. They've done very well for themselves.
I liked them a lot. All right. Our first Money in the Bank match for the contract, we have Bad News Barrett, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, RVD, Seth Rollins. Now, the thing I'm reading has Dean Ambrose listed, so I'm sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone. Actually, did that happen on Raw? So maybe not. See, we record our podcast on Raw, so sometimes I'm out of the loop.
Well, that's okay, because I am picking Seth Rollins.
Okay. Do you think... Well, we talked about this briefly about Barrett. So you don't think Ambrose wipes out Rollins and then someone else... I don't know who else would win, though. You're not going to have Kofi win. You can eliminate him. No, no way.
You're not going to have Kofi win. You're not going to have Swagger win.
No RVD.
No RVD.
They seem to hate Dolph.
Dolph, he got the win over Barrett on Monday, which said to me that he was going to win. Or Barrett was going to, somehow put the kibosh on
Dolph.
On Dolph.
Yeah, I
Sunday.
Guess that leaves Ambrose and Rollins then.
Yep.
All right. Rollins
so
it is.
I go with Rollins.
All right. In the main event for the vacant title, we have Alberto Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, Cesaro, John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus.
I hate Alberto Del Rio in this match.
Yeah.
Does he have any business being in that at all? I don't know. It is. I'm torn between Cena and Bray Wyatt, but I think it's got to be Cena.
I think it's Cena. I do. I think, it's never going to happen, but if there was ever a time to turn him heel and have him go corporate in Boston and win the title, that would be a cool time. Rumors are that he's going to fight Brock at SummerSlam and lose the title, so it makes sense to put it on Cena, let him be the transitional guy. You're not going to waste a Bray Wyatt or Cesaro or Roman Reigns title ran on that. A couple of my wacky dark horse predictions that I don't actually believe in. Oh, this one maybe. Sheamus winning, because they've barely talked about him, and him going corporate and rounding out Triple H's new kind of corporate team, Orton, a heel Sheamus, and Rollins.
Yeah, they could do that, and that could happen.
Because they could turn Orton babyface through that. You know what I'm saying?
I think, they need to, yeah.
So what if Orton's about to win, Triple H is out there, he already come out, and made Daniel Bryan come out, run some interference, but Orton's climbing the ladder, Triple H yanks him down, Orton looks at him like, what the heck, he pedigrees him, and then Sheamus climbs up and wins.
Well, what a shame, because it's going to be, well, get down the road, right? So it's Brock and Cena, let's say at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Brock is the huge babyface.
Right, that's the problem. But I mean, Brock could take the title and then disappear, I guess. They could do that. But do they really want to take the title off TV for that long? Are you only going to give him a month reign? It's tricky. It's tricky if you put the belt on Brock. But if you do Brock Cena again, he has to win. What do you think about Brock coming out here and taking the title?
No, I don't think they would do that. I think they would advertise him.
Right, I agree with that.
They don't waste that.
Right, okay.
They don't waste it.
I think Cena's all right. The pick. All right, take us home.
So when you think about opportunities, they can be fleeting. Whenever you have a chance to do something in your life, don't waste it. For the first time in my career, I got to announce a live pay-per-view on Sunday. And it was a goal of mine, and I accomplished it. It took me 23 years to do it, though. Don't think that because something doesn't happen today or tomorrow or by the end of the week that it'll never happen for you. You must continue to strive to make your goals a reality. You must do something at least every day, and if not every day, every week, to make that goal come to life. It's up to you. The reason why your goals don't come true is not because someone has it out for you, the sun, the moon, the stars are against you, and life just sucks and takes a repeated dump on you. It's because of you. Stop making excuses for the reasons why you don't make your goals. Make your goals a reality. Work hard. Put a plan together. Follow the plan and achieve it. It may take you 23 years, but at the end of the journey, it'll be satisfying nonetheless because you know that you will have gotten there and it will all be because of your hard work. So that's the thought for this week here as we wrap up this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. I want to thank my guest, the lovely, the talented, the wonderful Maria Kanellis. You can check out her and her fiance, Mike Bennett, each and every week. Mike and Maria in Wonderland, the podcast. You can find it through ROHWrestling.com, but it's available everywhere. You know what to do. And also I want to thank my staff, the great, crew behind the scenes that puts this on the air. Dan McGinn, who does a lot of work behind the scenes and gets no credit. Justin Rosero, who does even less and gets way too much credit, but he's a good guy nonetheless. Don't forget to catch my buddy, Steve Carino, with his podcast each and every week right here on the Place to Be Nation. And the Place to Be Nation.com needs to be your home for all things pop culture. I know it's not the exact right way to say the catchphrase, but it's the way I remember it. So there you go. PlaceToBeNation.com needs to be your one stop for everything. There's a lot of great stuff, articles, and entertainment. So check it out. Enjoy. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll have a special guest in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a good one. Make sure you're here for the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye. 10,000 some mothers.